Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call for November 25th, 2024, in the Hebraic calendar month of Chesvan, 5785. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you as we come together in fellowship this evening. We ask you to take from us our cares and preoccupations of the day, and to enter into a time of fellowship, a time of prayer, a time of just recognizing your sovereignty in our life, your holiness within us, your ability to draw out your goodness from within us as we come together. Your word says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. Father, we thank you as we enter into this season of thanksgiving, that we reflect on you, reflect on praise and worship, on gratitude for all that you have given us. It's so easy to get caught up in the ways of the world, so easy to get caught up in the cares and the concerns that buffet us, the attacks of the devil that hit us blindside behind the back of the head. But we just let that go, Lord, and know that you are able. You're able to go before us. You fight our battles. We stand strong in our belief and our confidence in you, that through you we overcome every adversary on a personal level, on a social level, on a city-state level, and on a national level. We pray for those around the world, Lord, who count on us here in America to hold the torch of freedom high, to fight the fight of freedom through our form of government. And we reclaim it now. We declare now the returning and the restoring of the re-inhabited republic, in the timing, by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. The work that you set out in our nation, Lord, the work that you began in us, you are faithful to complete it unto the coming of Christ Jesus. And to this we celebrate and say alleluia and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this week is Thanksgiving week, so the scripture that I want to plant at the top of the deck here is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Perhaps you know it off by heart, but it's in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How often do we get so troubled and so caught up in stuff, and God says, no, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I just love that scripture. And I want to start us off this evening reading Psalm 95. A call to worship and obedience. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God, the great King, above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he has made it. And his hands form the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Praise God, that was back in the Old Testament. That was back at the time of Moses when he led them out of Egypt and they kicked and screamed for 40 years. He told them about the promised land. He promised it for them.
I can't get on speakerphone.
I'm going to just mute you there, Vincent. And thank God, praise God, in the fullness of time, he sent Jesus, his son, to redeem us, to pay that blood sacrifice, to pay that price. And we are the recipients. And he gives us clues along the way of what it takes to stay in his presence, grow in his presence, walk in the authority of his presence. You know, I started out with 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Well, 5:16 starts out this way. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So I'm going to start here with getting us in a mood, a temperament of praise. So we're going to start with a song entitled, We Will Worship the Lamb of Glory. Feel free to join in.
We will worship the Lamb of Glory. We will worship the King.
We will worship the Lamb of Glory. We will worship the King of Kings. We will worship the Lamb of Glory. We will worship the King. And with our hands lifted high,
and
God, you are so good in our lives. You're so good to us. You know, as we've been entering into this week, a lot of people's times are winding down. Calls are being tabled for another until next week. And what really struck me is I've been involved, and some of you don't even know who I am, so I guess I should probably start the call by letting you know who I am. I'm Robert Zuluaga. I'm the acting chaplain for the Republic, and I've had many different responsibilities since we birthed the Republic back in 2010. And a couple of dear hearts on this call, Bruce and Linda Dietler, and I met by phone and have had a relationship for, what was it, Bruce, like 9 years before we actually met? Would that be kind of accurate?
Kind of accurate.
Kind of accurate. So God called me out of Arizona, which is where I started in the Republic, and called me up to Colorado, said, I want you to go to Bible college. So I got to graduate in a May from a second year. And I was prompted to invite Bruce and Linda to drive across the flatlands of Kansas, across the flatlands of Colorado till they hit the mountains. And they were so gracious. They came out, stayed with a dear friend of mine here, and attended my graduation. And that was the first time that we got to meet. And you two have no idea how much you have continued to bless my life over the years. And so I just want to give thanks for our friendship, give thanks for just your faithfulness, just the opportunity we had to come to know each other by phone and ultimately to actually get to share with each other. And then I believe you invited me over one Thanksgiving, didn't you?
We did that.
We did. That was a lot of fun. I can't remember which car I was driving at that time, but it made it. So I want to invite you both to the microphone and go ahead and share what's on your heart. Tell us what's going on in the week that was, and go ahead.
Well, okay, Brother Robert, thank you. And we belong to the Mutual Admiration Society, and we appreciate you very much and your godliness and all you have done and continue to do in the kingdom. We are rejoicing in God's faithfulness of what that he has put us here in beautiful downtown Whitewater, Kansas, 25 miles northeast of Wichita, population 600, and we don't know where all the people are. We've never seen them. But it's a nice little town. It's right in the middle of God's country, so that's where we want to be.
Well, I met your mechanic.
You did that, and glory to God, he's still mechanicking.
Is his health better?
I assume he's doing good. We prayed for him after a cancer diagnosis while Robert was here. And as far as I know, he's doing well, glory to God.
Praise God.
So, anyway, the week that was, this past week, has been a busy, busy, busy week. A lot of things happening, a lot of good things happening, a lot of iffy things happening. I want to start out with the week that was in the secular world. With last Sunday, the 17th, the Biden administration approved the use by Ukraine of U.S.-provided long-range ballistic missiles against Russia. Then on Tuesday, Ukraine deployed six of those missiles against a Russian emplacement. Then the British and French have also supplied long-range missiles to Ukraine and authorized their use as well against Russia. So on Wednesday now, the U.S. then authorized Ukraine to use U.S.-provided anti-personnel landmines against Russian forces, which the U.S. has spent millions of dollars around the world deactivating landmines in various countries, and we now give them to Ukraine. Russia has now hit Ukraine with an ICBM for the first time after Ukraine hit them with the U.S. weapons. And Russia says that it will, if Ukraine attacks Russia more or continually, the U.S. base in Poland will become a prime target because they're U.S. missiles. Over the past weekend, since Russia made that announcement, Ukraine has now struck Russia with between 5 and 10 additional U.S.-provided ATACMS missiles containing cluster munitions, which are devastating. It will be interesting to see the response from that one, but it's ramping up over there. On the good side of things, President-elect Trump has continued with his selections for cabinet and support positions, and most of you probably have heard that Matt Gaetz, who was nominated for Attorney General, has withdrawn his nomination for that position and was replaced with the nomination of Pam Bondi, former AG from Florida, and the deep state is terrified at that prospect. Bondi has said that the bad prosecutors at the DOJ will be prosecuted and the investigators will be investigated. Matt Gaetz will likely be a special prosecutor operating under Bondi, and he vows to expose the insidious insider stock trading in Congress, which has Congress fretting. On Friday, Trump nominated Sebastian Gorka to serve as deputy assistant to the president and senior director for counterterrorism. Excuse me. Dr. Gorka is a legal Hungarian immigrant to the United States with more than 30 years national security experience. He previously served as a guest instructor at the JFK Special Warfare Center and School in Fort Bragg, and then in the White House in 2017 as Deputy Assistant to President for Strategy. He is a tough one, too. Good guy. Today, big announcement. Special Counsel Jack Smith asked a federal judge to dismiss the January 6th case that accused Trump of plotting to overthrow the 2020 election, as well as requesting the dismissal of the documents case, citing longstanding Justice Department policy shielding presidents from prosecution while in office. So
things are really going
well in that regard.
So he just dropped his whole case today?
Yes. two cases, J6, the documents case.
Oh, golly. Does that mean everybody who's in there will get released?
Or is this just the
charges against Trump?
No, it's the Georgia case, the election interference case there that's got like 16 or 18 people involved with that. And that is unraveling wildly as well. So it looks like that he's going to wind up beating every one of the cases. And when the New York case is later dismissed, he will no longer be a convicted felon. So good things in that regard. Now, the Democratic National Committee is now insolvent. It has laid off all of its workers with no severance pay and has just two paid leaders remaining. Also note that MSNBC and CNN have no viewers, were outviewed by the Hallmark Channel last week, and are up for sale on their way to the garbage pile. It is reported that Elon Musk is interested in buying MSNBC, which would make him Rachel Maddow's boss, and Joy Reid and Maddow would be out in the cold. So the chaos has definitely begun. Another cute story here. Climate scientists, and we're all concerned about climate, right? Climate scientists have officially declared the climate emergency at an end. A two-day climate conference in Prague, organized by the Czech division of the International Climate Intelligence Group, or CLINTEL, quote, declares and affirms that the imagined and imaginary climate emergency is at an end. They put out a communique drafted by the eminent scientists and researchers who spoke at the conference, and it makes clear that for several decades, climate scientists have systematically exaggerated the influence of CO2 on global temperature. The scientists at the conference declared that even if all nations moved straight to net zero emissions, by the 2050 target date, the world would be only about 0.1 degrees Celsius cooler than with no emissions reduction, and the cost would be in the order of $2 quadrillion, which would be equivalent to 20 years' worldwide gross domestic product. Moreover, the communique stated a number of things, and I've got several of them here I took note of. The modest increase in the atmospheric concentration of carbon dioxide that has taken place since the end of the Little Ice Age, which was 12,000 years ago, has been net beneficial to humanity. So increasing carbon dioxide, they say, is a good thing. Another point they say, foreseeable future increases in greenhouse gases in the air will probably also prove net beneficial. The rate and amplitude of global warming have been and will continue to be appreciably less than climate scientists have long predicted. The sun, and not greenhouse gases, has contributed and will continue to contribute the overwhelming majority of global temperature. And there is broad agreement among the scientific community that extreme weather events have not increased in frequency, intensity, or duration, and are in future unlikely to do so. So much for the climate emergency, folks. Now, the God news of the week, some interesting things here. A tile mosaic declaring that Jesus is God is now on display in the U.S. The inscription, which is deemed to be the greatest discovery since the Dead Sea Scrolls, was uncovered beneath the floor of an Israeli prison in 2005. This 1,800-year-old mosaic, discovered by an inmate of the Megiddo prison, features an ancient Greek writing, quote, "The God-loving Ekeptos has offered the table to God Jesus Christ as a memorial," end of quote. This is the oldest known inscription outside of Scripture to declare the deity of Jesus Christ. This Megiddo mosaic was originally in what was perhaps the world's first Christian prayer hall in 230 AD. This would have been more than 100 years prior to Constantine's Christianization of the Roman Empire, which came in 313 AD. The piece is massive, 581 square feet, so that would be, 20 by 28. That's a big thing. Covered the entire floor of the original building, which is now an Israeli prison. The mosaic had been moved piece by piece to Washington, D.C., where it has been reassembled and is on display at the Museum of the Bible. Interesting. Now, in Texas has approved Bible-based teachings for preschoolers. Children as young as 5 years old will be taught stories from the Bible, including Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and the Prodigal Son, according to the classroom plans. Schools are not required to adopt a new curriculum, but they will receive additional funding if they do so. It could appear in classrooms as early as next school year. Material will be taught from nursery through fifth grade. Couple of interesting things here out of Europe. An AI, artificial intelligence, Jesus. Here's an AI Jesus is live streaming on Twitch platform 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, offering people heretical advice on just about everything. Over 35,000 people have sought divine intervention through this AI Jesus. Now, however, there is also an AI Jesus taking confessions at Peter's Chapel in Lucerne, Switzerland. this time with a hologram in a confessional. The bot was created by computer scientists and theologians from the Lucerne University of Applied Sciences and Arts and was trained on the New Testament and religious information found online. This gives it a stronger grasp of Scripture than most individuals and enough knowledge of religious debates to answer any questions thrown its way. The bot can speak 100 different languages, and folks in Lucerne seem to be loving the thing. The clergy at St. Peter's say that so far, the Deus in Machina, or the God in the machine, hasn't said anything that contradicts their theology. Okay, how about not making any gods before me? But anyway, the last thing I have here is something you may not have come across yet, but it's a interesting read. If you read this side by side with the King James, and it's posted online this way, this is the Gen Z Bible. That's GENZ.Bible. The Gen Z Bible, and I've selected a passage of Scripture here, John 3:13-16. And we're all familiar with that out of King James, for God so loved the world and all that. So here it is out of the Gen Z Bible. Now, this is important because we need to be able to relate, you know what I mean? Starting with verse 13. No one has ever, like, gone up to heaven except the dude who came down from heaven. You know, the Son of Man who's chilling up there in heaven. And, like, remember how Moses was, like, holding up that snake in the desert? Well, in the same way, the Son of Man has to be, you know, raised up too. So, like, anyone who, like, totally believes in him won't, like, die or anything, but will have, like, eternal life, you know? God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only Son so that those who trust in him will not be destroyed, but will have never-ending life. God didn't send his Son to trash the world, but to save it through him. If you trust him, you won't get judged. But if you don't trust him, you're already in a tough spot because you haven't trusted in the name of God's one and only Son. And, like, here's the deal. The problem is that back in the day, light, like, totally entered the scene, you know? But peeps were all about the darkness because, like, their actions were just straight up wicked, bro. So, hey. That is the God news of the week, folks. Rejoice.
Well, I'm going to open up open up the mic to anybody who wants to speak into any of the news of the week that was, that is, and that will be. So just state your name and go ahead and make your comment. And if you have a prayer you want to lift up about what's going on over in Ukraine and Russia, please do. Well, you're all jumping at it. Bruce, I just want to say, first of all, let's talk about Ukraine and Russia and what's going on there. It's so becoming increasingly obvious that the deep state is doing everything they can in desperation to try to incite a third world war before Trump gets into the helm. Do you have any sense of in your looking at the news of the week, what Putin's tone is, what his response is? Because I can't believe that he wants this thing to go on.
My interpretation of the different things I've seen, he is being very cautious. He is not wanting to do anything rash. He definitely has targets picked out. It's not something he can't do. He has ordered his hypersonic missiles to be manufactured post-haste very quickly, and those things do 11 times the speed of sound. Nothing can stop those jewels. But the problem is he is losing favor among the Russian people, and he, as the president, has a vested interest in him remaining as president. He cannot afford to be seen as weak. So there are a lot of different factors in play there, but I believe he's trying to hold out until Trump takes the scene. So we just trust that wiser heads will prevail and God will squash those who are trying to do things that are against his plan and purpose for the earth, and nuclear war is not in that plan.
Well, I totally agree with you. You know, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And it's very clear to me that the principalities and powers are stirring up a firestorm. So, Heavenly Father, we just speak into this entire matter of the escalation of affairs between Ukraine and Russia. Number one, Lord, it's not our fight. Number two, Lord, we reject this attempt of the global power elite to try to foment a war, to try to rise nation against nation for their own purposes, their own wealth, their own power, moving the power on the board of nations. We speak the power of the angels to go forth now. We just release angelic hosts to go forth now to uphold life on both sides. We thank you, Lord, that you are you are the author and the finisher of everything that happens on this planet. We stand with you. We stand with your hosts of heaven, and you give us the authority to speak the word. We speak the word to the angels to go forth now and collapse the attempts, cause confusion in the hands of those who are the orchestrators in this, cause missiles to be dudded, cause missiles to go off track and land in harmless territories. We just thank you, Lord, that you are more than able to weather this transition for the next couple of months that are going on here. And we agree with you that you are turning the tides in this age. You are moving it from a time that's dominated by the globalists, the power elite, the bankers, and you are giving the authority back into the hands of your people. You're shaking nations. You're shaking organizations. You're shaking governments. You're shaking your people. You're shaking your very church. And we stand with you, Lord, and thank you that you are so faithful. We've waited a long time. We've waited ages for this time to come, and we're excited in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else?
Can I share something?
You sure can, Linda. Go ahead.
I won't go into detail, but you and many of the others know that in 2011, the Lord told us to call for an Esther work, because he's no respecter of persons, and what he did for them, he will do for God's children today if we call it forth, and that was confirmed. And so Putin said that he is more than willing to discuss things with Trump. And so who knows what might happen, but I also want to say we also are aware of the fact that the Supreme Court has not announced yet their decision of the Brunson Brothers case. And some people are saying that could be done. That could be a nice Thanksgiving present. But anyway, if that happens, the bad guys go out. The spirit of Haman is taken out, and the good guys reign. Trump will go back in immediately. And so there could be major changes coming. Father, we thank you and praise you that you are in control. We thank you that you will do your will, your plan, your purpose, because we call it forth in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to your children. And we choose, Lord, to be willing to stand up and fight with the scripture in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach and declare the word and see you bring forth victory that is going to wake up so many people that we are going to see multitudes come into the kingdom of God. Even many Sauls become Pauls, and we just thank you for it in the name of Yeshua.
Amen. Amen. Well, yeah, I don't know enough about the Brunson case. Are you saying that with the Brunson case, if it were to be ruled on, immediately everyone who was in office at the in the House and the Senate back, or was it just the House, would be immediately removed from office?
It is the House, and it's not everyone. This is when they were. When they were to do the certification of the votes back in on January 6th, Ted Cruz and several others objected because of conflicting things for various different states, and they wanted a 10-day pause that the certification would be sent back to the states.
Which is
totally lawful, sent back to the states to take a 10-day period of respite to certify that, in fact, what they send to the House of Representatives is their accurate determination. The Nancy Pelosi and company chose to ignore that. Well, this is federal law. They chose to ignore federal law, which required a 10-day period of grace in a situation like this where objections were raised. They chose not to do that, and all of the people in the House of Representatives who voted against this 10-day grace period, those are the ones who are in danger, along with, Pence, Biden, the whole nine yards. At any rate, because they violated their constitutional oath, that is treason. So if the Brunson brother case is granted in the affirmative by the Supreme Court, a total of about 385 people will immediately lose their positions, and there will need to be a new election within 120 days, but Trump would immediately then go into the position of president. So a lot of things are up in the balance with that. It's been sitting on the shelf there at the Supreme Court, and it is not dead. It is still very much alive. It has not been announced that it has been adjudicated or addressed, at least. So we wait to see on that as well.
Yeah, this is Vincent. Can I say something?
Yes, absolutely. Vincent, go ahead.
One of the ladies in my Bible study asked me about, I tell them what's going on, and they listen, and they're asking questions. So one of the ladies asked me, what if Trump gets in, you know, the inauguration, and if the re-inhabited republic, how are those going to work? And this was my explanation, but you might be able to correct me. My explanation was, just like we have a transition from the Biden administration into the Trump administration, there will have to be a transition from the Trump administration. He's like a plant to take down the deep state within the corporation. And so when the re-inhabited republic takes hold, he has to turn it back over to the republic, because he is not part of the republic. Nothing against Trump. He's my hero, but you see what I'm saying?
Go ahead and pray into it, Vincent. Absolutely.
Yes, Father, we just thank you for everything that you have done so far to bring us out of the darkness that the deep state, the Dems, anything you want to call it, what they have done to try to tear down our future, tear down our lives, tear down our hope, and literally Antichrist. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would put up a shield for each and every one of us that will, that no one can resist. We know that there's no one, no angel, no demon, no person, no created beings can stand against you. And so we just ask you for right now, in this time, when the United States is struggling to find the reason why they were created in the beginning, we just ask that you would lift us up and each of us give us the frame of mind that we will be able to stand up where we are. And together, as we stand up where we are, that we will be able to make a difference for the future. But most of all, Lord, we put it in your hands, because we know that it's not us, it's you working. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Vincent.
May I share something about that also?
Yeah, go ahead, Linda.
Okay, I'm not real good on dates. You know me well enough to know that. But a number of years ago, the For-Profit Corporation of the United States of America went bankrupt. They continued to push it forward and extend it. It's my understanding that another several months ago, at least, and maybe more than that, it went bankrupt again. I don't remember if it's October 1st or when, but anyway, and this time they couldn't extend it. If that's the case, then we are already out of the United States of America for-profit corporation and back into the republic. And people have been saying, and I don't know, but people have been saying for quite a while that Trump was actually reestablished as the 19th president of the republic. So, you know, there may be all sorts of situations coming that has been going on behind the scenes that they have not told us about. But the for-profit corporation is, if it's bankrupt, and the original republic, which you are all a part of, has done the lawful work to put everything back where it needs to be, the good systems can intertwine together and bring forth the total victory. And we just praise God that he knows how to do it, and he's using his people to bring it forth in the name of Jesus.
Amen. You know, and I just speak into that as well. I speak into that as well, and we say that, Lord, you know the timing. You know the players. You know what the transition will be. You've already been doing moving and shaking here for a great season in this time of the third great awakening. And we just come alongside you to submit our hearts, to submit our hearts to be willing vessels, to be supple putty in your hands, to use us where you need us on the screen of life, that we can fulfill and see fulfilled your work here in the United States of America. We just praise you, Lord. You are so awesome. And I just thank you that it's popping out from everywhere like popcorn, that there's these areas of potential of where things are breaking down. The old system is breaking down, and yet you're positioning your people in new places. And in I'm just mindful of you station sentinels on the wall throughout your land. And I just see these sentinels now being ready and at their post for the order to move. So we just thank you, Lord. We spend time on our prayer call to take communion together. So if you're new to the call, if you'd like to gather the elements of bread or cracker and wine or juice, we will be doing that a little later. Brother Mark, I'm going to say Brother Mark who did I, did I, Mark Tomaszewski, or was it Mark Carroll who I asked to lead communion? I led it last week, but the week before.
You did not ask me, Robert. This is Mark Tomaszewski.
Okay. And Mark Carroll, I'm just want to balance it between you two because you both get, lead such a good communion here. So when was the last time you led, Mark Carroll?
Since Mark Tomaszewski has, so I will defer to my other brother, Mark.
Okay, so Mark Tomaszewski, I'm giving you a due warning that you will have that opportunity here a little later.
All right, thank you.
Okay, very good. So I wanted us to now take time on the call to ponder what you are grateful for, what you're grateful for over this last year, gratitude for things within the Republic, gratitude for things in your family life, gratitude for things that you've seen come to pass, that you've been believing for, things you've been praising God for over the last year. And so I'm going to play another song here. This one is, it's going to be in 444 hertz, and it's called Holy Forever. So take this time to maybe get a pen and paper and write down the things that you're grateful for. I've penned a few myself. So let's just take time to ponder the goodness of God.
Your name.
Oftentimes when I'm at a Thanksgiving celebration, someone invariably reads the Thanksgiving Proclamation issued by President George Washington at the request of Congress on October 3rd of 1789. So I'd like to read that to you this evening. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation. For a signal and manifold mercies of the favor, able interpositions of His providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and, in general, for all the good and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us. And also, that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplication to the great Lord and Ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and to increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows is best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789. George Washington. So, Governor Carpenter, I would invite you to the floor to share the things we have to be grateful for here in the Republic this year, and anything else that's on your heart.
Thank you, Chaplain Zitawaga. Greetings, everyone. We have a lot to be thankful for. I personally am blessed to be able to serve a risen Savior and to be called to the task that he's put before me. I was sharing a story with my pastor today as I was introducing him to Gene Herter's book, God's Solution for America and the World. And so I was asking God how I got to this point. He said directly to me, "Don't you remember sitting on your mom and dad's back porch overlooking Surface Creek praying the prayer of Jabez?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, why did you pray that if you didn't think I was going to answer it?" I said, "Wow, Lord. That puts it in perspective." And this is where we're at today, as a church, as a nation, as a body. And I'm so privileged to be able to join in camaraderie, in Christian brotherly and sisterly love, the minds that have come to the table to help facilitate God's cause in the last year in the Republic has been overwhelming. And only by the hand of God, another verification that we are on the right track. And I praise him and give him the glory. Thank you, Robert. I yield.
Thank you, Jim. We have another governor on the call, and I haven't called on her before, but Kathy Gish, are you available? And would you like to recognize what you're grateful for in the Republic this year, what you've seen? And you'll have to remind me which state you're the governor of, because it doesn't say it on your name, and I forget. You are unmuted, so go ahead and unmute yourself if you're hearing this. All right. Well, do I have any other governors on the call? If so, go ahead and make yourself known. How about our House of Representative Mark Binder? What do you see through your eyes, brother?
Good evening, everyone. Oh, there's a lot to be thankful for. There's no doubt about that. Things that we can see and learn about, and things that we can't see right at the moment, but we will learn about later. I'm especially grateful for God and the Pilgrims and the Founding Fathers to establish this nation, a foundation of it, and the documents that they have. And did you know that the first national Thanksgiving proclamation was done by the Continental Congress in 1777? And I have that proclamation I can read as well.
Why don't you? Yeah, sure. Go ahead. That'd be great. So okay. Was it from the Congress themselves that formulated it, or was it someone in specific?
It was from the Congress.
Okay. Have at it.
All right. In Congress assembled November 1st, 1777, for as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to Him for benefits received, and to implore such further blessings as they stand in need of, and it having pleased Him in His abundant mercy not only to continue to us the immutable boundaries of His common providence, but also to smile upon us in the prosecution of a just and necessary war for the defense and establishment of our unalienable rights and liberties, particularly in that He hath been pleased in so great a measure to prosper the means used for the support of our troops and to crown our arms with most signal success. It is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of these United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December, next, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that at one time and with one voice the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor, and that, together with their sincere acknowledgments and offerings, they may join the penitent confession of their manifold sins whereby they had forfeited every favor, and their humble and earnest supplication that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance, that it may please him graciously to afford his blessing on the governments of these states respectively and prosper the public council of the whole, to inspire our commanders, both by land and sea, and all under them, and the wisdom and fortitude which may render them fit instruments under the providence of Almighty God, to secure for these United States the greatest of all human blessings, independence and peace, that it may please him to prosper the trade and manufactures of the people and the labor of the husbandmen, that our land may yield its increase, to take schools and seminaries of education so necessary for cultivating the principles of true liberty, virtue, and piety under his nurturing hand, and to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom, which consisteth in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And it is further recommended that servile labor and such recreation as, though at other times innocent, may be unbecoming the purpose of this appointment to be omitted on so solemn an occasion. And to that I say, amen, let it be so.
Amen. You know, Mark, what's so exciting about that is that, so you're a year after the Declaration of Independence, you're a year after America getting to the point of like, wow, we're free. And it, you're another 10 years before, and yet, so you're 10 years before you have the Constitutional Convention and the creating of the Constitution. And it's like the states were already focused on God's goodness, his hand in our nation, his hand over what we are as a people. It's just like, we didn't have it together back in 1777. It was, you know, it was probably a bit like herding cats at that time. The British still laughed at us, but I just love it. It's like the faithfulness of God's people, the people he planted in their heart, the seed of freedom, and they've carried it and stewarded it down through the years. I just, you know, we're in their tradition, aren't we? We're in their tradition.
Yep, and most people learned to read using the Holy Bible back at that time, too. And many of them, especially the Pilgrims and the Puritans, liked the 1599 Geneva Bible. Well, maybe it wasn't 1599, but it was the Geneva Bible, because it was not put together by a monarch of England or Great Britain.
You know, technology is so much greater today. It is exciting to me to see how even that mask, the mask of King James. Now, King James is a favorite for a lot of people. There's a lot of goodness in it, but it's like it's becoming exposed that there's more to God. There's more to God than what the king tried to box it into in his version. And of course, I don't know if we go as far as Bruce's new hip hop version. What's it called? The what did you call it? The Gen Z, but. Very cool.
Yep.
Very cool. Do you want to pray a prayer, brother?
Well, yeah, I just want to say one more thing first. The King James Bible is a very valuable Bible because if you use the Strong's exhaustive concordance with it, you can get some of those words in the King James Bible, take them back to their Greek, Hebrew, or Chaldee origin, and you can get a little deeper understanding of it. And if you're lucky enough, as I am, to have the Companion Bible, it has an appendix in the back that's just really full of knowledge. You could do a whole study on just one topic. There's 198 topics in the back of that appendix, and it's really can open your eyes up quick. Lots of research done right there, right in your fingertips.
Well, you know, the truth is the Bible is a living word of God, and it's living. Every time I go into the Bible, I could read the verse that I've read before, and I get something new from it. So that's the beauty of his word, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's written on several different levels. I mean, it could be spiritual. It could be symbolic. It could be literal. It could be just using an example of nature or animal husbandry or something like that, so you can understand something a little clearer. It's definitely pregnant. You can always learn something from it, no matter what, especially if God directs you to take a look at a certain passage or a certain part of a book of the Bible, too, and has you look at other ones similar. So, yep. And my old Bible school teacher always told me if it's very important, it'll be in at least three places in the Bible. It may not all be phrased exactly the same way, but it'll be very similar in three places in the Bible or more. So, yep.
Amen. Beautiful.
Yep. Here's my prayer. I lift up America in this prayer here in our nation and the nations that are in support of republic form of government and freedom and liberty. We thank you, Lord, that your presence surrounds us, your Holy Spirit is in us, and your angels are commissioned about us. Greater are you that is in us than he that is in the world. So send your healing light, power, and frequency to us, Father, and our family, so we can be healed and whole once again. Forgive our sins as we humbly come to you on bended knee and with a repentant heart. Cleanse us with the blood of Yeshua, that we may be perfect in your sight. There we go. Lord, we pray for every person here and their families who have been facing so many desperate tactics of the enemy. We partner with you now, Lord, to place a restraining order on the enemy in every area he has been assaulting us and causing us harm. We bind you, strong man, in Yeshua's name, and you are bound. We are taking ground, and we will not be stopped. Witchcraft and demonic interference, we disarm you now. Surveilling spirits, familiar spirits, and tormenting spirits, we bind you now, blind you, and send you into the light of God, in Yeshua's name. Attacks on the home shall stop, and doors to the enemy we close, in Yeshua's name. Lord, we ask for recompense from our enemies for time lost, finances lost, joy lost, peace lost, people wrongfully incarcerated, and everything else that has been lost in the crossfires of this time in Yeshua's name. We forgive those who have partnered with the enemy because we know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, and we keep in mind who the real enemy is. Oh, my Lord, blow them away like dust, like chaff before the wind, as a forest fire that roars across the mountain. Chase them with your fiery storms, tempests, and tornadoes. Slay their armies with hailstones that weigh a royal talent. Utterly disgrace them until they recognize your power and name. O Lord, make them failures in everything they do to harm us. Let them be ashamed and terrified until they learn that you alone, Yahweh, are the God above all gods and supreme charge of the earth. Heavens and universe, in fact, all creation. O live forever, Yahweh, you are the God of love and there is no other. In Yeshua's name we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Great prayer, Mark. Thank you. Awesome.
Praise the
Lord. You're actually touching on something that's been on my heart this week as well, and that is each of us need to reflect on who we're allowing to speak through us, to emote through us, to, as we interact with each other. None of us hold the same opinion about anything. We might have similar thoughts about stuff, but there comes a time where we have stronger differences. And, you know, God really cautions the body of Christ in James that we need to really guard ourselves. And yes, there's a lot of time the attack comes from the devil. And as Mark said, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers. But James 3:16 says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And I say this for us to reflect on, you know, as we all step into positions or interim positions, we're custodians, we hold the republic with a sacred trust. Everyone's called to a different station. And it's very, very important, in my opinion, that we guard against confusion of strife. Strife comes in, and on the tail of strife is every evil thing that there is. And when we look at the world we're in today, you know, Attorney General James Timothy Turner has said something consistently since he first set the ball in motion with Joint Chiefs of Staff. And he said, God is building this republic. And God truly is building this republic. So when we get into our own little flesh worlds of our opinions that start projecting negativity towards one another and strife towards one another, it only opens the door to everything we're fighting against. And everything we're fighting against is the cabal, the evil forces behind the Freemasonry, the evil forces behind the Khazarian Jews, the evil forces that have set into place such poison that has given us our schools like they are now, with children being confused and being supported by counselors and things to say that they should stay confused and take drugs and things to correct their identity. So we have to guard our hearts. And I really like our reflection to be personal, so that we are custodians of what God has given us and what he's birthed in us, this freedom that we seek, this truth that we seek, finds its resting place in Jesus Christ and us becoming conformed in every way to Jesus. So thank you, Mark. Very nice prayer. I think it's time for us to turn to communion now, so I'm going to invite Mark Tomaszewski. You have the floor.
All right. Thank you, Robert, and good evening, everyone. I thank you, Mark Binder, for that those words you gave you, and you said something, you kind of stole my thunder. I was going to start off by talking about communion, that if you see a scripture repeated a couple times throughout the Bible, it's probably pretty important. And communion is talked about in a number of books in the Bible, and I'm not going to get into an extensive teaching here, but just to say in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Bible records when Jesus shared communion with the disciples, and it's also in 1 Corinthians where I love to teach out of there. But I want to do just say thank you, Mark Viner, for bringing that up. This is very important, and I want to speak to everybody about communion, that this is a very it's a quiet time to reflect and be thankful for what Jesus did. And I was just reading in Hebrews chapter 10 today that Jesus perfected forever all those who are being sanctified by his sacrifice. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We are healed. We are blessed. We are sanctified. We are redeemed. We are made righteous by the blood of Jesus. And communion is a time to pause and to really think about, wow, Jesus, thank you for what you did. So I want to tie that also together with Thanksgiving, because this is a time that we reflect as a nation, Thanksgiving, but we should be doing this every time we think about Jesus. And communion is something that we can pause and do any time with other believers, to just pause and partake of the elements. And it's a wonderful thing. I grew up in a situation where communion was not personal. It was only for the corporate body, and it meant nothing to me. But when I got a hold of how powerful communion can be, it was a very exciting time and a major shift for my life. And so I want to tie it together with Thanksgiving and share another scripture before we do communion, just in Philippians chapter 4. We're talking about Thanksgiving, and we're talking about communion. And Jesus, when he was giving communion, he gave thanks. And every time Jesus took bread and broke it and gave thanks, something happened. How many times did he break the loaves and the fishes and multiply the food? When Jesus blessed something and distributed it, something happened. And I want to say that tonight in communion, something's going to happen for everyone listening on this call, because there's always more. Robert, you mentioned that. There's always more in God when we humble ourselves and say, Jesus, thank you for what you did. Show me what I'm not seeing. Show me what's available in the Spirit, and show me how to appropriate the blessing of what you did in my life. And so that's what we're going to do in the cause. But in Philippians chapter 4, which is a very, very popular verse, but I just wanted to start with verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then the next verse tells you the practical way to appropriate this peace of God that surpasses all understanding by being thankful. But it says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And as we go through life and see tragedy and all the kind of stuff that we hear about, when we focus on the Lord and his goodness and what he has done, we can have a different perspective, because God is good and he is victorious, and he has called us his children to go about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. For God is with us in communion, being thankful and remembering is very important to do as much as you can with like-minded believers. So now I want to switch to the communion, and I'm gonna read from Luke chapter 22 tonight. And so if you all have your elements ready, that would be great. I want to read the scripture, and this in the context of this is when the hour had come in verse 14. He sat down with the 12 apostles, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will no longer by any means eat of it until it is fulfilled in God's kingdom. He received a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I tell you, I will not drink at all again from the fruit of the vine until God's kingdom comes. And then he goes into verse 19, where he breaks the bread. So this is Jesus announcing the new covenant, his body and blood is being shed. The new covenant in his body. And so I want you to think about every time Jesus breaks and blesses and gives thanks for the bread, something happens. Because it's representative of the sacrifice he made, the breaking of his body, the shedding of his blood. So in verse 19, it says, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in memory of me. So now as we participate in the bread, I want you to think about this personally. And I want you all to think or say, Jesus, thank you that your body was broken for me, and by your sacrifice, I am healed. Let us all partake together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing our bodies. Thank you, Lord. And then in verse 20, it says, likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And I want to encourage everyone to read Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, where it talks about the sacrifice of Jesus and how one time for all men he shed his blood, and you are sanctified and perfected forever by the sacrifice that Jesus did, and by you accepting what he did, you are perfected in the Spirit. So let us participate in the cup. We thank you, Father, and I just bless this time now, and I thank you, Lord. We remember what you did. Let's participate together. Thank you, Father God. I pray that you speak to everyone participating tonight, because you have something more for all of us, Lord, that you would speak to all of us as we submit to your blessing and what you did, and we give thanks to you, Father. Let your word come alive to all of us as we turn to you and ask for your guidance and for your blessing and for your sanctification and for all of the good things that you have for us. Just let it be done now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Welcome.
Sally from Wyoming, what is the Lord speaking to you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
My landlords have gone to Arizona for the winter, so I am very thankful for hot running water. That I can blow my shofar in the house. May I blow the shofar?
Oh, you sure can. Absolutely. Hallelujah.
When I'm on the prayer call at 1 in the morning, I don't have to drive to the camper. I can blow it in the house. I can pray. I can go to the bathroom with running water. It's such a blessing to be able to flush.
The little things in life, eh?
Yeah, the little things. During the summer, I live in a fifth-wheel camper about a half mile from this ranch house I'm in now. And I haul my water in and I haul my water out. You can use your imagination on that. And now I have all the amenities of civil life for a few months till they come back in April or May. So thank you, Lord. And the shofar disturbs them, so I don't get to blow the shofar here. I have to drive to the camper to blow the shofar. So thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
I thank you for connections that we can make with people, the friends and family that we can connect with this week. I just pray that we'll share around about the thankfulness that we have in knowing them and enjoying them and sharing life with them in all the different ways. In Yeshua's name. And on the prayer call, we're praying for the different appointees. Two disturbing ones I can't remember his name, but he's going to be appointed head of finance. And he was previously part of Soros' advising him. And he, I believe, was also on the administration with Trump, ambassador to Germany or something like that. But he's being appointed to finance. And he's a known homosexual living in covenant with a man. He's married to a man. So that's disturbing that that person is in our leadership and what the effect that will have on our government, having someone with that tendency speaking into our government. And the other one I'm just concerned about is, I think her name is Judy. She's been appointed Surgeon General. She's very in favor of forced vaccinations and masks and things like that. So, Lord, we pray your hand would be on these different appointees. We cry out for your righteousness and truth, and to not let someone in that's going to really distort our government, our nation. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much for your weekly work on that. That's just such a valuable service, Sally. And I agree. I'm concerned about the Surgeon General lady as well. I didn't know about the finance guy, but if you do find his name, let us know what that is. So I made a list. I made a list of the things that I believe we need to be grateful for in the Republic this year. One is James Timothy Turner was set free from the 10-year and 8 months in federal prison. And I know it was a little earlier than Thanksgiving of last year, but the part that's of value and I'm grateful for this year is that he's got his life back. He's got the opportunity to reconnect with his wife. He's getting his health back. He has an opportunity to serve others with his skill set in the legal system or in the lawful system. And I just praise God for him restoring Tim Turner. And Tim has been so faithful and confident in his declaration that this republic belongs to the Lord. The Lord will raise up this republic. It's his republic. And his stewardship has been just so inspirational to me. So I praise God for President Turner's restoration to his normalcy of life. He's still got some jewelry that needs to go, but that will also unfold here in God's time. Also this year, what we've seen is we kind of really got down to a skeletal crew for a number of years. We had about 200 active members in the Republic, and now we have over 10,000 Americans who have linked arms to join in the cause for standing up the Republic. We've got about 48 of the 50 governors are now sworn in to fill interim positions. We've got many new members in the senators and House of Representatives. Maybe, Mark, you can weigh in and tell the folks on the call how many House members we now have vetted and sworn in.
Well, we have 19 right now. We can have another 6 coming up pretty quick here, maybe December 3rd. And it just keeps going up and up. And I'm grateful for every one of them. Nail, thank you.
Thank you, sir. We also have justices and secretaries of state stepping up across the nation. We're starting to see now some activity at the county level. We're seeing county clerks, and justices preparing. Part of the requirement, as most of you know, is that you have to read the volume 2 of the Re-Inhabited books and promise to read volume 1. Personally, I think you need to read volume 1 to understand the history chronologically and the detail of how things went sideways. And then it makes a full appreciation then of what we've done so far in the re-inhabitation process. But so we've got documentations. Finally, we have a documentation package, which was 14 years old. It had some things which weren't perfected. It's a lot more clear now in terms of the continuity between what we have accomplished as a nation in our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and our original Bill of Rights. So exciting things there folks can recognize as they've studied our history, studied our Constitution. I go, yeah, that's it. I want to participate. We've given people an opportunity to actually put their autograph on the Declaration of Independence, not just the original 56 signers, but you and I can too. So praise God. There's just really exciting things that I'm grateful for this year. I'm so grateful that President Trump has been reelected. It's not perfect. He has clearly the enemy is close to him. He's a smart man. He plays chess very, very well. And we have to trust that just like he did with, who was the Secretary of State? Does anybody remember who we had in his last administration? The white-haired guy with the glasses. What's that guy's name? And he took him to North Korea and he was like spitting tacks when Trump walked over the border to meet with Kim Jong-un. But he kept his enemies close. So hopefully with what he has had to endure over the last 4 years, he's learned a bunch more things. And I'm excited that he has God's hand on him to move us to the next step. So as we close the call, Heavenly Father, I just bless all those on the call and those who will hear this prayer call. I pray blessings upon their families. I pray time of great gratitude that families come together and put aside political differences, enjoy your goodness, enjoy time of fellowship, time of food, a time of bounty. You are an abundant God. You say that I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. So Lord, I just release that abundance upon each and every family, each and every relationship where there has been tension in the past. I pray this Thanksgiving across the land is a time of healing, a time of reconciliation, a time of recognizing your faithfulness, Lord. You've seen us through much adversity in this last 4 years, and we give you praise and glory and honor. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We take our thrones, our crowns, and we cast them before your throne, and we cry, Holy, 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 holy are you, Lord God Almighty. And we are excited that we get to participate in your work on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all of you have a blessed Thanksgiving. I'm going to stop the recording.